Our gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to the author of Luke, from the first verse up to the 13th verse of the fourth chapter. We are reading from the NRSV English Translation Updated Edition. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem, and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Listening to the reading and to the preaching, may we receive God's blessing.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
So our Lenten preaching series is Lenten Encounters. Okay, and today we will talk again about the devil. Okay, kasi pinag-usapan natin siya nung sa grace, di ba? So Lent almost always begins, it actually always begins with the story of Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit or guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and there meeting the devil. Yan palagi ang kwento sa unang Sunday of Lent. No, sa mga gumagamit ng lectionary, sa mga churches na gumagamit ng lectionary. So Jesus meets the devil after he was baptized by John in the Jordan, and as the scripture says, was filled by the Holy Spirit. As followers of Jesus, if we take our following of Jesus seriously, kung sineseryoso natin ang pag-follow kay Jesus, like him, there will be times and situations where we will meet different devils. May nakilala na ba kayong devil? Marami. Sa MCC, no? Di ba? So marami tayong mamimit. In our journey, both as individual Christians and as a church community. And wala tayong choice. Meron at meron tayo talagang mamimit na mga demonyo sa ating paglalakbay sa buhay. And perhaps sometimes, tayo rin ay nag-uugaling demonyo paminsan-minsan. Hence why we have Lent and why the first story of Lent is always Jesus meeting the devil. Meron itong gustong palaging ipaalala sa atin. Now, the original Koine Greek word, the Greek word that was used to refer to the devil is the word diabolos, used as a noun. Okay, used as a noun. The noun form of diabolos may refer to a person or, ginamit siya ng mga Christians, to a supernatural entity that we know as the devil with a capital D. Now, the noun form originates from its verb form. So actually, yung noun form niya, yung pangtaong form ng salita, originally comes from the verb form. And within the Greek-speaking society of Jesus and Paul, diabolos as verb did not always refer to a spirit entity. Verb form nga eh. Both the verb form and the noun form diabolos were used by regular non-Christian Greek-speaking peoples to refer to a person who is a false accuser, or kung verb nga siya, an act of slandering. Slandering. So mga medyo geeky-geeky umpisa nito. So from Strong's Lexicon Entry 1225 from BibleHub.com, it says, ito yung sabi niya about context ng word na diabolos. The Greek word diabolo primarily means to slander or accuse someone falsely, making false statements with the intent to harm another's reputation. In the New Testament or Christian Testament, this term is often associated with malicious gossip or false accusations that can lead to division and strife within communities. In the Greco-Roman world, the act of diabolo was not only a personal attack, but could also disrupt the harmony of the community. No? Demonic ang chismis. Consultation, no? Ano, data gathering? Or ano, validation of ano? Data gathering and then later validation. Mm-mm. Now, but the irony... Ito yung irony, no? The irony about the devil in the Bible is that he actually tells the truth. And the only person that actually tells the truth in the Bible, well, not the only person, one of the best tellers of truth in the Bible was actually the devil. No? But, ito yon. But to use the truth or pieces of truth to harm and to accuse. Because the greatest forms of lies and falsehoods are those that have some truth in them. And even if there is no lie at all, truth, bawang katotohanan, can also be used to harm individuals, communities, and even nations. That's why the devil, in another part of scripture, has been called the father of lies. Pero parang inaccurate nga yun. Parang medyo inaccurate. Kasi nga, nagsasabi pala ng totoo yung demonyo. At magaling siya sa paggamit ng katotohanan. Baka mas tama yung title niya ay Father of Manipulation. Kasi ginagamit ng demonyo ang katotohanan or pieces of truth to cause harm or cause people to do things against what is genuinely good for them. So here in the gospel, according to the gospel writer of Luke and also the writer of Matthew, the devil is presented to us not as a false accuser but a false promiser. Huwad na tagapangako. If gagawin mo ito, ito ang magiging benefit mo. Yun yung temptation ni Jesus eh. What happened in the story of the temptation of Jesus. If gagawin mo ito, ito ang magiging benefit mo. If you do what I say, you no longer have to suffer. This is the temptation of Jesus and perhaps our temptation as humans. Especially those who have power and position sa ating families, power and position sa ating work or organization, o sa mga corporations, or sa gobyerno. At least in two of the three temptations, the devil quotes scripture to say that it is within the right and the power of Jesus to do what the devil is urging him to do. No, yung sa tatlo yung temptation ni Jesus eh. Yung dalawa doon, nag-quote, nag-reference ng Bible, ng passage ang demonyo to say and to urge Jesus na nasa karapatan mo at nasa kapangyarihan mo itong sinasabi kong gawin mo. Okay? Gina-justify niya using scripture itself. So the so-called temptation of or tests of Jesus were what? Ano nga yung mga temptations niya? Ano yung una? Food? Sige. Sige. So God's protection, kaligtasan sa kapahamakan. Ayan. So number one, feed yourself by turning these stones into bread. Unang temptation, di ba? Because you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Number, dun muna tayo sa number three. And then, number two, yung number three, tama. Make a spectacular miracle at the center of power and faith, no? Dun sa templo. So that everyone will immediately believe you, accept you, and worship you. Diba? Magpabongga ka dun sa temple para immediately paniwalaan ka ng mga Hudyo. And then yung second is, worship me. Sambahin mo ako and I will give you all the wealth and power of this world since it is mine to give. Yun yung ano, second temptation or test. Now, one thing I realized as I was reflecting and preparing for this preaching, especially with the first temptation, one thing I realized is that the power of Jesus to do miracles was never self-serving. When he was hungry and thirsty, he will get his food and water like any ordinary human. But when others needed it, he performed to produce wine, change water into wine, and then to multiply food to feed so many poor and hungry people twice. Feeding of the multitude, feeding of the 5,000. He lives and suffers as a human in every way humans do when it comes to his own life. Not once, ewan ko, quote nyo ako, mamaya mali ako. Hindi ako nag-data validation. Pero as far as I can remember, not once was there a story where he used his power for personal satisfaction or gain. Never siya gumawa ng miracle para sa sarili niyang benefit. So here, the true temptation of the devil is for Jesus to exercise his power for personal gain. And to argue, at least in the two temptations, using scripture, that Jesus has the right and the power to do as the devil suggests. You are the Son of God. You have the power to do this. Why not benefit from it? It is just bread. Why not save yourself the trouble and the struggle? You can jump from the roof of the temple and see and believe. You can jump on top of the temple and angels will swoop down immediately to save you so that everyone na makakakita who will see you will believe you and believe that indeed you are the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. Now, the second temptation about wealth, kayamanan, and global dominance is also a way to benefit Jesus. Kahit walang quotable quotes yung devil doon. If you have all the material wealth of the world and have dominion over it, you can change the world the way you want it. Yun yung temptation ni, that's actually the temptation, the second temptation. At minsan napag-usapan namin ni Kakaya, no, mga wanderings namin nung nasa seminaryo kami. Nasa jeep kami. Sabi ni Kakay sa akin, Chang, kung nga kaya kung bilyonaryo tayo, no? Like billion. are we going to still be Chang and Kakai or something different? Will we use the billions to really change the world? So yun yung temptation ng devil. If you own all the material wealth in the world and you have dominion over it, you can change the world the way you want it. Will you not sacrifice a few seconds lang naman? Wala pang 1 minute, magbabaw ka lang sa akin. And a few words of praise. If that would give you the power and the dominance to correct everything that is wrong in the world. But Jesus calmly rejects and pushes back by also quoting scripture. We do not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from God. Hindi niya sinasabing masama ang kumain, ha? Sinasabi niya, there is more to life than food or to satisfy oneself. There is something more and something much bigger to consider than just personal gain or satisfaction. Because using power for self-interest will never heal or change the world for the better. Worshipping power and dominance have not changed the world before Jesus was born, during Jesus, and he was alive, and certainly not changed the world. It did not change the world after Jesus, or even if Jesus took the offer of the devil. Now, the question, have you encountered these kinds of devil in your life or in the Philippine society? Someone who tells you, do something so that you can benefit from it, and would even argue that it is within your power and your right to do certain things for your personal gain. Inakilala na kayong ganun? Sige, gawin mo na to. We benefit ka para dyan. If you do this, you will benefit from it. Example. Magbigay kayo sa Panginoon para pagpalain kayo, siksikliklik, umaapaw. Ibigay nyo maski ang inyong lupa't bahay. Ibigay nyo. Bakit 10% lang kung kaya nyo 20, 30% or more, ibabalik yan sa inyo ng Panginoon higit pa sa ibinigay ninyo. Demonic pala yun. Give and do something good with the promise that you will gain more. Magko-quote pa sa Bible ng mga verses. This kind of twisted theology of prosperity with the use of scripture is demonic. Iboto niyo ako ngayong eleksyon. Pag ginawa niyo yan, ibibigay ko itong lupang ito. Support us, defend us, vote for us, and keep our family in power. And if you do so, may ayuda kayo from us. Yung mga barangay na may pinakamataas na boto para sa akin ang makaka-receive ng maraming ayuda at projects pag Pasko, pag may sakuna, at pag may piyesta. Kumpadre, halika, tumakbo kang senador. Pag senador ka na, you will have more resources and government power to help more people. Come and become a senator. Come and join our senatorial slate. Basta sa amin ka lang susunod. Yung mga boto mo at desisyon mo pag naging senador ka na, ay yung sasabihin namin. All this you will have when you become a senator. Just follow my lead. Just follow my lead is another way of saying, just worship me. I promise, nangangako ako, wala nang mga drugs at drug addicts. I promise the Philippines will be the safest country in Southeast Asia basta't kahit anong sabihin ko, gawin ko at ng pamilya ko, ako lang ang Panginoon nyo. Huwag kayong maniniwala sa iba. Maski dyan sa Diyos nyo. Yung Diyos nyo, stupid yan eh. Sabi nung isang government leader dati on live broadcast, sabi niya, stupid daw si Jesus, a stupid God. Last example. Ibibigay ko sa inyo ang golden age. At ang 20 pesos na bigas, basta't maging loyal lang kayo sa aming pamilya no matter what. Loyal lang kayo palagi sa amin kasi magkaprobinsya tayo. We are in the season of Lent where the first gospel reading for the first Sunday is always about the devil tempting Jesus to do something that will benefit him. Benefit Jesus. And each time, Jesus rejects the temptation and the offer. Sino sa inyong buhay at sa ating lipunan noon at ngayon ang nagsasabi sa inyo at nag-o-offer na gumawa kayo ng mga bagay na magbe-benefit kayo kahit na ang kapalit ay inyong prinsipyo, kapalit ng kabutihan at kapalit ng mas tama ngunit mas mahirap na daan. Mas tama ngunit mas mahirap na daan at paraan. Ngayon, naging joke na nga ito. This week yata yun or last week. Naging joke to sa chat ng MCC. Jesus, balik ka na lang. Oo, magkaalaman na. Sa lahat ng mga problema natin ngayon sa mundo at sa Pilipinas, ang tanging sagot talaga, balik ka na lang, Jesus. Now na, balik ka na. Because this is the easier and immediately satisfying solution. But perhaps, it is not what we really need to change the world. Perhaps our desperate need for saviors, our hunger for saviors, is precisely why the world is fucked up. Because people now have looked to false saviors and voted for them. And up to now, support and defend them tulad nung violenting turtle and his daughter or the family of thieves back in power or the orange clown who fancies himself as an absolute monarch. We look for saviors thinking that they will solve our problems. And that's why the world is fucked. Definitely, God wants what is good for us. And I know God wants things to be better, not just for humanity, but for all of the earth. But let us resist any temptation of using power for self-interest and as a means to immediately solve everything. Let us also reject many diabolos walking and talking around us, offering self-serving promises and asking us to worship them by becoming or being mindless loyalists. True salvation, ang tunay na kaligtasan, has been shown to us in this way, in the life and words of Jesus. Love and serve God by loving and serving the people of God, which oftentimes means journeying with a few friends and followers, preaching here and there, challenging the powers of this world, and then being threatened by them. To proclaim good news to the poor and the oppressed, and to organize and mobilize communities and sectors. But that requires a lot of effort, time, and even sacrifice, like what Jesus and the early Christians did. And to really save the world is to make disciples of every person, so that every person will be willing to die on the cross than to use violence as a solution. Because if and only when every one of us, every single 7 billion humans in the world, if only every human in the world will be willing to die for one another, then no one has to. Gets natin? Kung ang bawat tao sa mundo ay willing ibigay ang kanyang buhay para sa kanyang kapwa, there time will come, there is no one who has to die. To save the world is to make disciples of everyone and for everyone to be willing to die so that no one has to. Kung ang bawat isa ay willing ibigay ang kanilang buhay para sa iba, mawawala na ang dahilan para may magbuwis ng buhay. At doon lamang matatamo ang tunay na katarungan at kapayapaan. Only then, the world will finally know justice and lasting peace. And when that happens, then perhaps Jesus will consider finally returning. And only then, Jesus have finally defeated sin, death, and the devil. Amen? In Jesus' name, may it be so.